Cape Talk, health and wellness.
Right, as I mentioned, we are jumping the gun a bit by just a couple of days because it is on Monday that World Club Foot Day will be marked around the globe. But we thought we'd take the opportunity to focus on this condition and the huge steps made in treating it. And I'm using the word steps very deliberately because that is the name of the only dedicated non-profit in South Africa supporting children born with club foot and, of course, their families. And it's my great pleasure to have with us in studio today the founder and director of that NPO, Karen Moss, as well as our medical expert for the day, Dr. Marie Tiaat, who is a senior specialist and head of the pediatric orthopedic unit at Stellenbosch University Tigerberg Hospital. Lovely to have both of you with us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pippa. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Marie, let's start with a couple of basic medical questions. Can you explain for us in layman's terms what clubfoot actually is?
Okay, so essentially clubfoot is a congenital abnormality. In fact, it's the most common congenital abnormality that we see in children today. Congenital meaning present at birth, and it is a deformity of the foot. So essentially, the foot is bean-shaped and pointed inwards, mm-hmm. and unable essentially to correct this foot into a normal foot position. So it's a stiff foot that is pointed inwards and downwards.
Is that something to do with the tendons that would normally direct the foot in another way? Are they too short or too long?
So essentially, there is quite a few theories about how it comes about, and there is some evidence to show that those tendons are slightly shortened, as we would call it, fibrotic, and the actual bones themselves are not aligned in the correct way.
Okay, do we know what causes it, Marie?
So we don't. It's really interesting. There's a lot of genetic studies that are currently in the process of occurring because we're not really sure. We know that there is a 25% incidence if you have a first-degree relative with clubfoot. Your general prevalence, so if no one in your family has clubfoot, the prevalence is under 10%, so 7% chance of having a child with clubfoot. So there is a slight genetic component, but regarding risk factors, we're still trying to figure out what they are. The only one that has shown any concrete proof is that maternal, or the mom, smoking during pregnancy seems to be associated with clubfoot, but there's nothing else that they have discovered so far.
And that's not to say that if a child is born with clubfoot, it means their mother did smoke during pregnancy.
Oh, of course.
Just
yes,
to be,
exactly.
To be very clear.
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really interesting. 7% general prevalence is a pretty high figure, and you've said this is the most common congenital abnormality. How prevalent is it in South Africa?
So globally, we see it in 1 in 1,000 live births, but actually we don't know. So what we're trying to do now is all the academic centers. So most research in South Africa gets done in the academic hospitals. Mm-hmm. They are the tertiary centers in the state, as you know them. And we are busy at the moment trying to create a national database to work out, as you say, exactly what our prevalence is, because all we know is that most of the studies have been done overseas, mm. and so that's the number we stick to, which is 1 in 1,000.
Okay.
But how prevalent it is in our own country, we're not quite, that's the number we're sticking to, but we are doing research now to see.
Okay. One more question before I move on to Karen's story is to talk to us about the impact this can have on a child's life if it's not treated. What is the long-term impact?
All right. So the earlier we treat clubfoot, with the Ponseti method, which is casting and manipulation that occurs weekly, the earlier we started, which we really want to see the child as a newborn, so within the first week of life, the earlier we see it, the better they do, because because the bones are softer, because they're mostly cartilage and they're more malleable, it is correct, much easier to correct, and so the child has a much better outcome. The older the child is, the more difficult it is, because as I was saying, the foot becomes stiff, and it becomes stiff, and those muscles that are short remain short, so it becomes a little bit more difficult to treat. If you leave it, unfortunately, it is not something that they will grow out of, or it'll improve as they get older. So unfortunately, that position that the foot is in, that bean shape turned inwards and down, then creates very difficult walking, that they end up having to walk on the side of their foot Shoe wear obviously becomes a massive problem, and so it is very disabling long term if not treated.
And I would imagine if you're walking on the side of your foot, that's going to have all kinds of knock-on effects onto your spine and other parts of your body as well.
Absolutely. And that area of the skin, because it's not meant to be weight-bearing, that skin gets breakdown, we get pressure sores, we have pain. Mm. So because you're meant to walk on the sole of your foot where there's nice padding. Mm. So long term, this is a very disabilitating condition.
Okay, thank you very much for giving us a thorough there medical introduction to the condition. Mm. Karen, I want to bring you into the story here for a personal story, because you had the surprise in 2003 of your son being born with clubfoot. Did you know anything about the condition at the time?
I knew very little about it. My only experience was one member of my family having one clubfoot being born when I was 9, and I had memories of him wearing a caliper and shoes and having lots of operations. So my immediate thought was my son was going to go through a lot of suffering and have to wear special shoes and have various operations. I was really quite terrified when he was born.
As a result, though, you started doing a lot of research to educate yourself. And I know initially you were told that surgery was going to be the only option, correct?
Yes, I was told at the time. I was living in Johannesburg, and we'd gone to probably the best known expert on pediatric orthopedics, and he told us that 80% of his children were operated on, and having checked my son's feet, they were rigid, and he said, your son will definitely have surgery. We phoned two other doctors for second opinions, and they said that is the standard treatment in South Africa. So we were facing surgery.
What made you look further and push deeper in your search for an alternative?
I think part of it was thinking of my cousin and him having only the one foot like that, and my son growing up with 2 feet that were, you know, having post-surgical, what I had seen happen to my cousin. But also I'd had a car accident when I was 18, and I'd had 4 surgeries. And I know that after surgery, things aren't always the same. Mm-hmm. And when this doctor said to me, your son's going to be playing first-team rugby, and I just, something inside me thought, I just want to try and find something. If there is another way, I want to just know more about it.
Now, your research led you to the Ponseti method, which Marie has already mentioned. How
yes.
long did it take you to find that? Because I know time is of the essence here. As Marie's just told us, the sooner you intervene,
yes.
the better.
Well, we initially went with the protocol in South Africa, and we started treatment, and Alex didn't show any improvement. And I went on the internet and found through Yahoo and a link to a new parents support group that had been started, a website and an email address for Dr. Ponseti. And that was when Alex was about 7.5, 8 weeks old. So he'd already had quite a few casts, which had not really been any, had no effect whatsoever. And I realized then that this was a possibility, but having looked at it, I realized that this man had started this treatment in the 1950s. So I thought, well, is he still around? Surely he's not practicing. And I mean, quite miraculously, he was. And he was 89 years old, and he was still treating children
his
clinic in Iowa. Yeah.
89 years old.
Yes.
So you found him in Iowa. What did you do? Did you email him? Did you phone him?
Or I did. I sent an email with photographs, because there was an email address for him at this place in Iowa, and which I'd never heard of, which actually apparently is quite a well-known children's hospital. But if you tell an American you're going to Iowa, they think you're insane. It's like saying you're going to the Plateland for treatment or something. But when I emailed him, it was a Saturday night, and I spent the whole night reading testimonials on his website from adults that had been treated, and was very excited about it. And my husband wasn't as keen, because he didn't think that it sounded like a really, you know, practical way of dealing with the problem.
Yeah.
But on the Monday, I phoned, and which was quite amazing to me, was Dr. Ponseti came on the phone himself. When I said, I'm phoning from South Africa and I'd like to speak to somebody who's in the Clubfoot Clinic. And he came on the phone and said, when can you come?
Wow.
So it was really that easy. And that, I mean, looking back, I don't know how I got there, but it was actually, the process was quite quick once I started looking.
So you got Alex to Iowa, and talk to us about what this treatment involved.
Well, for me, there was a big contrast between the treatment that he'd already had in Johannesburg, and then when we got to Iowa, Dr. Ponseti, I sat in a rocking chair in his rooms, and he sat opposite me, and he was playing with Alex's feet, I thought, but he was actually manipulating his feet already, getting them all sort of, because most times when you're doing the Ponseti method, it's very hands-on, and you feel the feet, and you touch the bones, and you're kind of moving the feet around and seeing how much stretch you can get. So he was doing that already, and then he started to cast Alex, and I mean, I just, for me, it was such a calm, much calmer atmosphere than I'd experienced. And I felt like I was in really good hands. And what was even more incredible was he did an accelerated treatment. As Dr. Marie, as Marie has said, you change the cast weekly. But what he did for people who were coming from far away is he changed the cast every 4 or 5 days. So when he took the first cast off, it was such a major improvement compared to the 7 or 8 casts that he'd already had in Johannesburg that I just knew this was the, and within 3 casts, his feet were straight.
What?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Marie, can you explain to us what was happening inside those casts? So you I assume you're applying a rigid cast to hold the foot in a particular shape and try and manipulate it to what it's meant to be like. Is that correct?
Yes. So essentially what Dr. Ponsetti figured out, I mean, he is amazing, is that the whole key to correcting the club foot all revolves around the talus. That's the bone in one of the bones in the foot. And essentially with club foot, as the front half of the foot turns inwards, it essentially what we call uncovers the talar bone, which is normally nicely snugly covered by the navicular bone. And what he figured out is if you apply pressure with your thumb over the talus and essentially lift up the front half of the foot, it then closes down the talus and the talus then relocates where it should be and corrects the foot in the right position. So while putting on something rigid, as Karen was saying about the manipulation, is you're stretching the soft tissue as well as manipulating that talar so that it gets covered by the navicular bone, which it needs to, and so sits then in the correct place.
Amazing. Now, the fact that he developed this back in the 1950s, I'm interested to know why it's taken so long for it to be more widely recognized and in more widespread use.
It's interesting, lots of talk about that. He was a non-American working in America in a very small part of America. So he wasn't, and he was a very humble man. And he kind of thought, well, it works, I'll just carry on doing it. And he actually published his first paper in 1962. But I know Marie probably knows more about this than me, but what I've been told is that around about the 1950s, there was also new surgical techniques coming out, and the kite method was becoming very popular, and there was lots of talks about that, and surgeons like operating. That's what surgeons do. Mm. As Dr. Ponsetti said, they love their little knives, you know. He said that himself, and he was an orthopedic surgeon. So to try and tell a surgeon, actually, no, put that knife away and start doing this hands-on manipulation, when you can actually, in their eyes, they were getting great results with surgery. The problem was sometimes the long-term effects. He did a study in the 50s on what happened after clubfoot surgery, what were the results, and he found early arthritis in teenagers and pain, rigidity, limited motion. So he then, that was when he started to investigate what it was all about. But unfortunately, I think the PR was missing and the publicity, and it really took until the late 90s. I've just met American friends this morning, actually, who were one of my first contacts and when I took Alex to America, and when they took their son for treatment, who's now 20, there were 5 surgeons doing Ponsetti in the whole of America. So that was in 2001. So it's really changed a lot over the last 16 or 18 years.
Because today you don't have to get on a plane and fly to Iowa to have this treatment, do you, Marie?
No. So now Ponsetti is our standard method of treatment. It is taught to all our registrars. So in every academic institution in the country, our registrars are exposed to the Ponsetti method. And there are clubfoot clinics essentially in all our provinces, definitely at tertiary level, so in the academic hospitals, and in a lot of places in the secondary hospitals as well. Of course, we're still not reaching everyone, because in the primary hospitals, which is in our more rural areas, etc., there isn't access, and those patients then do travel. But I think as the message is spreading, I think the use is going to improve. The other thing that is changing is this is a manipulation method. And as Karen was saying, it's hands-on. And it does not always have to be done by a surgical person or an orthopedic surgeon. There are many clinics that run really successfully using physiotherapists that are trained in it. And I think that's going to be the key of really spreading the message, and the treatment method is going to be training allied health professionals to target more of a nationwide area.
Mm. And of course, Karen and Steps are playing a big role in this. But before we talk about that, Karen, how old is Alex today?
He's 16.
And can you tell us, about his long-term prognosis? Has he been able to play sport to run,
yes,
to walk normally?
He's played sport through through primary school. High school, he's less active. He's more into gaming, most teenagers are. But he doesn't have pain in his feet. He can stretch his feet. He can stand on tiptoe. We go for hikes. He doesn't, he just has normal function. As Dr. Ponsetti said on that website that I read, you're going to be sure that your child will have a fully functional foot. And that is it's true. I mean, it is a birth defect, and it's not a foot that is going to always behave like a normal foot, but you can get really good results from using the Ponsetti method.
Let me just recap for the sake of those who might have joined us late to the conversation that my guests in studio are Karen Moss, who is the founder and director of an NPO called Steps, as well as Dr. Marie Tiart, who is a senior specialist and head of the pediatric orthopedic unit at Stellenbosch University, based, of course, at Tigerberg Hospital. Now, Karen's been relating her own personal story of having a son born with clubfoot. You didn't just gratefully accept the treatment and carry on your merry way, Karen. You decided that you wanted to make sure other parents would have access to it as well. So tell us a little bit about what led to you founding Steps in 2005.
Yes, I think my journey of finding Dr. Ponsetti and finding such an amazing solution and him taking my hand and saying, you're the first South African that's been here. Can you go back home and tell the doctors what's happened here and see if you can try and, convince people to try this? And he gave me a whole pile of stuff to go home with. And I don't know why, it just ignited something in me. And I just thought, I don't think I'll be able to sleep at night thinking about all these babies having either surgery that they maybe don't need or walking on the sides of their feet for no reason, when it could be treated. So I very naively thought, well, let me just go and tell a few doctors to do this and then that'll be my job done. Well, 16 years later, I'm still here. Because, of course, over 80% of our children are in public health, and a lot of the places are under-resourced, and we focused a lot on supporting the clinics, not doing the medical side, but actually supporting through parent education, making that parent's journey a little bit easier. In fact, my American friend said today, it's the warmest welcome they've ever had at a clubfoot clinic was coming into Marie's Tigerberg clinic today. Wow. So that makes me really proud because they've been all over the world. Mm. And we've really worked hard to support parents through this process because it is, once that correction's done in the cast, that's not over. The child will then sleep in a maintenance phase of the treatment in a brace, which is boots attached to a bar. And that's part of, any new parent knows how hard it is to put your baby to sleep.
Yeah.
And, to get them down and get them to sleep and to sleep through the whole night. Now you've got to attach two shoes attached to a bar onto your baby to sleep every night. It's a huge thing to actually take care of. And so we'd support parents through that.
I'm just remembering that just the process of trying to get them into a baby grow was hard enough. So
exactly.
I can just imagine. Yeah. Karen, did you ever go back to those original surgeons in Joburg and say, look at my son's feet and look what's happened?
Yes.
How hard a sell was it, I guess, is the question.
When I came back, I didn't go straight back to Alex's first surgeon. I was a bit nervous of him, but I did write him a letter and say, we've cancelled the surgery and we don't need it anymore because it worked. Because he laughed and said, well, I'll see you when you get back from Iowa. There's something in the water there that works for some babies, but I'll see you later. And so, of course, I didn't go back, but I did write him a letter. And I made an appointment with another orthopedic surgeon in Johannesburg and asked him, just basically ambushed him, took Alex there in his boots and bar and took all the Dr. Ponsetti's stuff that he'd given me and said, look, this is what happened when I went to Iowa. And he knew the surgeon that had been doing casts, and he sort of looked at it, took the stuff, and then about 3 months later phoned me, and he had gone to do an introductory training on Ponsetti with another guy in America.
Fantastic.
Called Dr. Hertzenberg, and he said, I'm going to try it, and I've got my first patient. He's the son of a pediatrician, and she's happy for me to do it. And that was how it started, because he had such good results. He said, I'm not doing surgery anymore, and that's where it went from there. And I think Alex's first doctor came to my first training in 2006 that we organized when I started Steps. He came and shook my hand, and he started doing Ponsetti, so he was a nice conversion as well.
Okay. Dr. Ponsetti himself is no longer with us,
no.
But did he live long enough to get the feedback from you about Steps and what was happening in South Africa?
Yes, he was my oldest email, my oldest email contact. I stayed in contact with him, and I went back to see him when Alex was four, There was a conference in Iowa, and he was very proud and very happy because he actually told me that from the studies he'd read that South and East Africa did seem to have a higher incidence of clubfoot than Caucasians and Western world. And he was really interested in about what was going on in South Africa, and he wanted to know that it was in good hands, because he said he couldn't travel anymore because his wife wouldn't let him. He was already 93, so
sure.
You can kind of understand why. Yes. Fabulous. Unfortunately, he died 2 years later, and I think still very much missed by everybody because he was such an amazing man.
Mm. You are organizing an international clubfoot conference for later this year, aren't you?
Yes, it's a huge task, which I'm actually doing with Marie, and we're having it at the Stellenbosch Medical Campus in Tigerberg. It's been a dream for a long time to have a Clubfoot Africa conference, because I've been to quite a few conferences in other countries, and I just think there's a lack of focus on what's going on in Africa. And there's over 50,000 children born every year on the African continent with clubfoot, and there's some amazing doctors that I've met in my travels in Ethiopia and Tanzania and Ghanaians, and they have a lot to share, because we work in low resource settings, and a lot of the stuff they see, older children, which you don't see in Europe and America, you see all kinds of other challenges that you know, and the idea is to just pull all of that together, bring some global experts, but also give the African doctors a chance to share their findings and to network with each other. So that's in November we're going to have it.
So the final question then is, if anybody listening wants to get in touch with you or wants to find out more about that conference, how do they do that?
They can please call our office, which is 021-462-7357. We also have a website, which is www.steps.org.za. Or they can just email me, karen@steps.org.za, K-A-R-E-N. And we are busy right now with all the planning. So anyone who wants to get involved is very welcome to join and help us with all the event planning, because it's a monster, but we're very excited about it.
Can't wait to hear more about it in November. Karen Moss from Steps and Dr. Marie Tiart from that orthopedic unit at Stellenbosch University. Thank you both so much for being with us today, and good luck for the conference.